This is a Roundtable Rewind.
Start, though, with a pickup for Auburn at a position of need yesterday. We told you Tony Fair, who has played at UAB, a contributor on the defensive line for the Blazers' great defense, was choosing between Auburn, Ole Miss, and Purdue. He picks Auburn. And, boy, if you have been paying attention, the need for bodies on the defensive line for Auburn was there. Daquan Newkirk had gone to Florida. Coinis Miller had left and gone to Jackson State. Jaron Handy just committed to Indiana yesterday after hitting the portal. Jay Hardy is already in the portal. Jeremiah Wright had an ACL injury. So you needed some depth there, somebody who could get some considerable playing time. Enter 345-pound Tony Fair. And instantly, if you say, hey, you're coming from that UAB defense and you've contributed the last 2 years, you've got a pretty good resume.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's been one of the top defenses in the entire country. He certainly got the size, man.
That's what you want, right?
Well, yeah. He's a space eater.
Yeah. I mean, 6'3", 335. How big was Terrence Cotey? Terrence Cotey's 350 or 60.
I think 360, 365 was probably his playing weight. Or that was his reported playing
weight.
Yeah,
but I don't think he was 6'3".
Terrence Cotey?
Yeah, I think he was a little less than that, right?
Really?
He was big enough to be Mount.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think that had to do with his girth.
Well, maybe he was.
6'4", 345.
I was going to say 6'5", yeah.
And that's virtually what you have in Tony Fair there, 6'3", 345.
You wonder how a native of South Bend gets to UAB.
Well, he started off at Indiana State, right?
So he made a pit stop.
He's at Indiana State playing at the FCS level, and then UAB's got a program that's up in, you know, Conference USA Championship, so he comes and plays there. And now after doing that for a little bit and having a, you know, contributing for a couple of years on that defense, on the rotation, on the defensive line, with 1 year free in hand because of the pandemic and everything, he says, hey, I'll take my shot at a big, big program. A lot of people thought he was going to go back home to the state of Indiana and play for Purdue, where he's from. But he picks Auburn.
Yeah.
Because there is a chance to play pretty quickly there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, especially when you've hit a reset button in the coaching staff. Like, Derek Mason doesn't have any preconceived notions that are older than a few months about any of his defenders, right? It's not as if you're coming to play for Kevin Still, who, if a guy's a junior, Kevin Still's had him for 2-3 years, and he's got some sort of attachment to him. I mean, Derek Mason's not attached to any of these guys. So you can transfer in and start on a slate just as clean as guys that have been in that program for 3 or 4 years with Derek Mason. So I think the timing of it, as far as the coaching change goes, helps him even more.
Yep. And yesterday, as I said, Jaron Handy, who had gone to the portal for Auburn, picked Indiana. He's played in 7 games in each of the last 2 years. So he was a small contributor on the Auburn defensive line. Handy now off to Indiana there. And one big guy hit the portal yesterday. Tyreek Johnson, 5-star defensive back commitment to Ohio State, hasn't really made a major impact on the field in Columbus yet. So he's in the portal. He's trying to move somewhere else. That decision for a 5-star DB came down to Ohio State, who he selected, Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, and UCLA. So we'll see if those 4 schools maybe get back into the hunt for Tyreek Johnson. But if you're an Auburn fan and you know what your recruiting class has been and you're looking for bodies, not necessarily – you need them as urgently at running back and defensive lines, where you really need wide receivers, some contributors early on. You maybe don't need it immediately this year in DB, but to get a former 5-star DB into your locker room at Auburn wouldn't be a bad pickup there either. And UCLA, of course, could use some defense. So some college football news to start off with this morning.
Did you see, though, that TJ Finley, the LSU quarterback, says, quote, Auburn is a factor for him?
Yes. I mean, and – you know, with TJ Finley, you guys loved him, you know, and I did too.
Well, that one starts
for one game.
Yeah.
But the guy physically looks like he could play the position.
Well, he does.
The guy that started 5 games for LSU and Ed Orgeron, and I do think he's got the talent. Obviously, I mean, those LSU quarterbacks, you know, it's not what we saw with Joe Burrow a couple of years ago, but the upside of the guys they've got there. And, you know, I guess Finley will wait to see Tua Tua. You know, is he going to be eligible immediately, or if the SEC passes this rule?
We should know by June 3rd.
That probably will affect his decision.
I mean, those are the reports, is that June 3rd the vote will take place, and we should know by then. But I mean, if you're an Auburn fan,
but when does the portal window close?
July 1, right?
Yeah, May 1st from now on, right. But July 1st this year.
So you'll have a good month potentially, Lance. You could have a month between that decision and the window closing to get that transfer in. So Finley would have time. Now, look, Auburn fans, if they didn't watch a lot of LSU, they're going to judge T.J. Finley maybe on his, well, no, it wasn't his worst day.
Texas A&M was his worst
day. Yeah, his day against Auburn was pretty bad, but his day against A&M was his worst day. But if you're an Auburn fan, he's not going to beat out Bo Nix. You guys don't think T.J. Finley could come in even right now if he came today and beat out Bo Nix, do you?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either. Lance hesitates.
I hesitate. I don't think he would just because of, well, I mean, look, it's a totally different scheme. But, I mean, that's Bo's team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way he's going
to
be
think, I think it would be really, really difficult.
Rockstar, can you put, I hesitate to levitate of Dua Lipa and sing one for LT over there? That would be fantastic.
Good done, pull. Done away, done no away with a recent, that is, but
recent song.
Oh, it's not that recent.
It's like a year old.
Dua Lipa even talk about hesitating? I know she talks about levitating.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're playing off levitating. If you're doing a spoof song, you wouldn't do exactly the song. You would do a spoof song.
I got you.
I hesitate instead of I levitate.
So Lance hesitates. Now Todd quickly. Auburn fan right there, logo right there in the old Twitter icon, Dunaway. Please, God, give me Finley. Starts over Nix day one. Bo Nix is the worst five-star recruit quarterback in SEC history. All right. Mark Todd down is out of the Bo Nix.
Just a totally different quarterback.
I don't think Finley would start right away. The point I was getting at is we haven't seen enough of Demetrius Davis, so I don't know that he can push Bo Nix right now. He obviously had a lot of talent in high school. Luganbill was with us earlier this week. It is his opinion that it's not a great fit in the Mike Bobo, Brian Harsin system. It was a far better fit in the Malzahn system that actually recruited him. I think Finley could come in and push Bo Nix a little bit. And that has always been my concern about the Auburn quarterback depth chart, is there's nothing there to push Bo Nix. I mean, I don't think Bo's a loafer. I think he probably works hard, but Bo also knows there's nobody that's going to start in front of me. And I think T.J. Finley could do that.
Only a freshman, T.J. Finley, so plenty of football left, and that was a free year, so he really has 4 years of eligibility left wherever T.J. Finley ends up. He's in the portal to the NFL schedule release after we tell you our friends at Family Care Dental can be there for you. You can schedule your appointments even on Friday and Saturdays with Family Care Dental. If you need dental care or have a dental emergency and need immediate help, Family Care Dental is there to help out. The urgent care office where you can be seen the same day. Locations in Hoover, Fultondale, and Homewood, accepting all ages for emergencies or routine dental care, including Friday and Saturday appointments. Family Care Dental, 874-9605, 874-9605. All right, the NFL schedule releases. Last night, you and I were having a steak, LT, as the release happens. Instantly, we both go to our phone trying to find our team's schedule. We all have a favorite NFL team, four different ones here on the show. So let's bounce around and just give me your take on your team's schedule first. Lance, you see the Rams. What pops for you?
Well, you know, they don't have a lot of East Coast trips this year, which they had a brutal East Coast trip schedule last year. You know, when I start to go through the schedule, I see 8 wins for sure, and there's a lot of up-in-the-air games, and I see 4 games where they're probably going to be underdogs. But all in all, it's not a bad schedule. I mean, you probably start 3-1.
Okay.
Which I'll take that. I mean, again, there's interesting games. You've got Jerry Goff that will be coming back to SoFi to take on the Rams. That is October 24th. That seems like a win. You know, games at Green Bay. Who's going to be Green Bay's quarterback?
That's right.
They play your Tampa Bay Bucks in week 3.
I'll tell you who TV thinks is going to be Green Bay's quarterback right now is Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you saw this, but of all the East Coast teams, they've got the fewest early kicks. So Fox and CBS are heavily, and NBC and Monday Night Football are heavily invested in their late games with Green Bay.
Yeah, they do have two that could be flexed out at the end of the year, but Green Bay, of all the Central and East Coast teams, in a prime spot to have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback with Green Bay. All right, to Miami and your team, Brown, I look at your first 5 games.
Pretty tough, huh?
And I go, my goodness, if you get out of there 2-3, I think that's a win for Miami.
Yeah, for those that don't know, at New England week 1, hosting Buffalo week 2. I mean, already your division, right? You got 2 division games. You go to the Raiders, back-to-back years, by the way. Go to the Raiders. host the Colts, and then go to the defending champion Buccaneers. That's your first five.
It's brutal.
I've
seen one writer already say that Miami will start 0-5, which I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Start 0-5 and miss the playoffs. I mean, if you do start 0-5, I mean.
Well, you're going to miss the playoffs. Yeah, he'll be right about that.
But a lot of pressure on Tua right off the bat because you play Belichick's brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you play the team to beat in your division in Buffalo.
Who smoked us a couple times last year.
Then you travel to Las Vegas.
Who owes us a huge payback.
But, you know,
but
the Raiders.
That's the win.
It is the easiest one.
That's the win.
But don't you guys kind of view the Raiders as one of those teams that's probably like 8-9? They're just good enough to beat anybody on a given Sunday?
That's probably who Miami is too, right?
Yep. And then the Colts, who I think is a playoff team, and the Buccaneers. Are the Buccaneers with 22 starters back.
Start.
We'll see how fat and happy they are. You know, the question becomes, you know, is it Cam Newton or Mac Jones you face in that first game? Is there a chance in week one that it's an Alabama versus Alabama quarterback
Could
battle?
Be.
Is it Tua Tagovailoa versus Mac Jones? Rockstar, if you will, give me cut number two. This is Tim Hasselbeck, who thinks that's exactly what you get in week one, Tua versus Mac. Here's Hasselbeck.
Trey Lance hasn't played a ton of football. He's coming from a lower level of competition. So I wouldn't have him be the favorite. And then when you look at Justin Fields, look, Andy Dalton was given a $7 million signing bonus. He's going to make $10 million. I think it's going to be hard to beat out Andy Dalton in that scenario, which brings you to New England. Cam Newton making about half of what Andy Dalton is making. And I think that Mac Jones, because of his background, will do a nice job going in there, learning the system, competing. And I think that he will give that coaching staff in New England enough confidence that he'd be ready to go week one.
Now, I thought Justin Fields would be the first one on. He says financially it will not, he won't be the first drafted quarterback on the field. He thinks it's Mac Jones. I think they're really comfortable with Cam Newton. I would be shocked if Mac Jones is the week one starter.
Well, I would too. I mean, Bill Belichick's been a head coach in this league for, I'm guessing, 24, 25 years.
Been a while.
I mean, you go back to the Cleveland Brown days, I can't remember him ever having a rookie starting quarterback. And I'm talking about, I'm talking about in season.
Yeah.
Was Tom Brady even at the end of that season where they won a Super Bowl where you lost your starting quarterback and Drew Bledsoe? Was he even a rookie that year?
No, because his rookie season would have been 2000.
Yeah. I can't remember any time there's ever been a rookie quarterback in the starting lineup. And I think it'll ultimately happen at some point this year. But New England went out. They did something they never do. They spent money. They went out and got some skill guys.
Really good at the tight end position all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got Smith and you've got Henry at the tight end positions, I would be almost shocked if Mac Jones is your starter day one. Now, maybe ultimately this season he's your starting quarterback, but day one would really, really spread.
Do you know the one crappy break I call in my schedule, though, is – I love it when Miami comes to Atlanta or Tennessee. It's a great opportunity for me to go see the Dolphins. I knew they were coming to Tennessee. I knew they were hosting Atlanta. And I even looked at the schedule. I was like, hey, you know, the worst date possible for me would be January 2nd because there's a chance we're doing our show on the road with a college football playoff.
I told you the 2 days that scared me with that. With those.
Oh.
What?
We're going to be – okay, go ahead.
What are you laughing at over there, Rockstar?
There's a chance we'll be traveling to a college football playoff.
Well, there is.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years has it been?
Oh,
I think we've only missed it 1 year, right?
Because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're laughing at, though.
It's a first world problem.
Oh, you're laughing at the fact that I'm calling this a problem. Well, it is a problem.
To say, are you doubting Nick Saban?
Yeah, come on, Rockstar.
Hell no.
Or Brian Harsin in year one getting Auburn.
Maybe.
But that game's on Friday, so I got a chance. But I looked at the schedule. I'm like, that would make it complicated travel. Yeah,
Christmas Day was the other one that you
yeah.
There's two games on Christmas Day.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I didn't consider Monday night a Monday nighter because of the show. Of course, it falls on January 2nd. I looked at the schedule Dunaway and said that would be the worst possible day, and that's the day they put it on.
For my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the one that pops out, obviously, is Tom Brady going to New England. Everyone will hype that up. And I saw projections that they're, you know, when people start projecting out W's, they think that both those teams have a good chance of being unbeaten, 3-0, when they play each other on October 3rd on Sunday Night Football. That will be a circus for Tom Brady returning to New England. And I instantly think to myself, what kind of reaction does the Boston fans give Tom Brady? It has to be a standing ovation, right?
Yeah, I think they will.
I mean, six Super Bowl champions.
Again,
yeah. I don't think they blame Brady for what happened. Yeah.
We talk about the merchandise that was sold from the Tampa Bay Bucks last year, and the second biggest fan base of the second biggest city was Boston.
Yeah, you can't do that with just Tampa Bay fans.
No. So, yeah, I do think that they will show the appreciation for Tom Brady. I think it's going to be a neat scene. But if you're Bucks, who, by the way, I thought were a good team in the regular season, I don't know what happened in the postseason. Congratulations on winning a Super Bowl, but 11-5 in the regular season. If they're able to beat the Cowboys, go to L.A. and beat the Rams, and then throw in a Falcons team that I think is going to be much improved to be 3-0 going to New England, I'd be surprised if you're 3-0.
Yeah, well, that was one person's opinion on ESPN.com who thought it would be 3-0 versus 3-0. But I will tell you, you know, we were talking about Super Bowl champions on that Thursday night game. Since they started playing the Super Bowl champions 16 in a row, the defending champions have opened up the season on Thursday night. The champs are 13-3. We sort of had a feeling. We remember the losses.
I know. I'm surprised at that.
We remember the losses, and I think one of them actually was Brady to the Chiefs. So that may have been recent memory that Mahomes got Brady in that. But the Super Bowl champs are 13-3 on that opening Thursday night for the 16 years they've done that.
So 16 games. I would have guessed if you had set it up, what do you guys think the record is?
I would have said 8-8.
Yeah,
I would have said 9-7. I think 9-7 slight edge to the defending champion.
I would have gone 10-6.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm shocked at 13-3.
Really, really good matchups.
Yeah.
Okay, one more on Tampa Bay's schedule. If I asked you in Super Bowl history, how many repeat champions have we had? How many Super Bowls? Which you're good with that, the Roman numerals. How many? Which one's coming up?
This will be Super Bowl 56.
56. So we've had 55 champions. How many times has it been repeat champions?
We have had it three times.
You say three.
It's two or three.
How many times have we had back-to-back champions?
I know the most recent was the New England Patriots, and it's been almost 20 years now.
Unless I've written this down wrong, I have it eight times.
That there have been back-to-back champions?
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe early on with Green Bay, right?
Green Bay did it.
I think
Steelers did it once.
Yeah, Miami.
Cowboys did it once.
Miami did it once.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that might be right.
Okay.
I
assume San Francisco did it once.
Okay, but how about this in what...
Well, they still seems like a lot.
What seems like modern football over the last 20, 25 years, it just doesn't happen.
No, I agree with Lance. It does not happen.
Since how about this? Since the Cowboys won their last Super Bowl, do we have more than New England that's done it?
Oh no, right?
Yeah, so I think it's been 25 years. You've only had one. Just quick guessing.
There's just too much parity. There's too much parity for it to happen. And we've seen really good teams that couldn't pull it off.
Okay, the Packers went back to back. The Dolphins were the next team to do it.
There's two.
Then the Steelers did it. Then the Steelers did it again.
So you'd count that as four, obviously.
Yep. And then now we're on a run of just nobody doing it. And San Francisco does it.
Five.
Then the Cowboys do it.
Six. The Patriots are seven.
And the Broncos did it.
I forgot about the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos.
Yep. That's seven.
And then the Patriots did it.
There you go.
Trust your writing, Jim.
I would have. I'm shocked at that. The Broncos were the one I forgot.
Okay, last 20 plus years, this happened one time.
Yeah.
Yep. But since the Patriots, it has been a one off.
I thought we were going to have it this past year, though, because going into that game, I thought Kansas City was going to win.
I did too. I thought Kansas City was that team. But last year was the first time ever that a team got to play the Super Bowl in their home field, limited crowd. Tampa Bay wins it. A lot of people projecting it's the Rams this year getting a chance to do it on their home field because the Super Bowl's at SoFi.
You know, I thought it was funny reading through the different ESPN NFL experts that broke down the schedule. There were six different writers, and they predicted their Super Bowl matchups, and three of the six have the Rams in the Super Bowl. Not one have the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
Really? Losing to the AFC team?
You know, somebody's got the Browns winning the Super Bowl.
Oh.
I saw Furman last night tweet, "The Browns love..." I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he basically said, short the Rams. Play the other side.
Here it is.
The Cleveland hype train has reached an all-time high. Buyer beware. Mm. That's what Furman said.
Later on, we'll talk strength of schedule and how different people do that. That'll be later in the show. Rockstar, your Lions. I've got nothing on your Lions. I didn't look at your schedule. I assume they play on Thanksgiving.
Well, one to date, I think, would be a great matchup. The Lions are playing the Rams on October 24th. And quick question for Lance. What is the highest amount of touchdowns in one game Jared Goff threw while playing for the Rams?
I think it was four.
I bet he goes five. Two Rams players.
So two big sixes, three to his team, two to their team?
I'm saying five to the just to his
team.
DBs.
Well, just to the other team.
The reception, I think Jared Goff will get a nice reception when he comes back to Los Angeles.
Hey, all right, there's that.
Well, the difference he played for us. It's more of a respect factor for Tom Brady, what he will get going back to Gillette. For the Rams fan, it's like a non-threat.
Thank God he's yours.
Yeah.
That's true.
Terry is next with us. Hey, Terry, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Ryan, you were talking about the quarterback room at Auburn a few minutes ago and the lack of depth there. I was curious if you'd follow up on that a little bit, and I have my own thoughts, because with the possibility of the guy from LSU transferring over, and when you look at Malik Willis, who's had success at another school, and there's even NFL talk about him, and you know Joey Gatewood transferring to another SEC school. And I'm a big believer in there's just certain guys, for whatever reason, I don't know the reason, none of us know the reason, that some guys just turned on in game time. And I think Joey Gatewood was that kind of guy. I think that was what Joey Gatewood was.
Well, we haven't seen that in Kentucky yet, right?
Well, you haven't.
We don't know.
I take my punishment there, but I think he could be that kind of guy. But look, I don't think there's any. This leaves no doubt in my mind, and it's proof for me, and it's proof for everybody that you choose to look at it the right way. That Bo Nix was promised the job to come down there, because there's nobody to push him. You said that yourself a moment ago. There's nobody to push him to make him better, and you have to have somebody to push you to make you better.
I mean, I don't know that you have to, but I certainly think it helps. I mean, you can have some driven guys. I mean, for instance, in the NFL, Tom Brady knows nobody's taking his starting job. He still gets better. I mean, guys can be driven, but that's professional in college. There's a difference there. There's a maturity level. But I don't think there's anybody to push Bo Nix.
No, but I think Tom Brady was one of those guys that learned under, I don't want to say one of the best, but Drew Bledsoe was really, really good, a borderline Hall of Fame guy. And, you know, I think there is something. I mean, you look at the Alabama quarterbacks and quarterbacks that have been in that room and how they've pushed each other. I mean, nobody expected Mac Jones to be this good, but you can't tell me that playing behind Tua didn't help him.
That's right. And in hindsight, maybe Mac Jones did push Tua more than we thought.
I can promise you this, guys. If Gus Malzahn, the quarterbacks have a better chance with Brian Harsin than they ever did with Gus Malzahn to push somebody to push Bo Nix.
Yeah. That's what Wesley says. Wesley on Twitter gives us, I honestly think Harsin will be good for Bo Nix. And Terry, we appreciate the phone call with Terry getting rave reviews from the critics online. Paul says Terry seamlessly transitions from griping, a different word, on Gus Malzahn to Bo Nix. Very impressive with how seamlessly he transitioned from his shtick for years and years about Gus Malzahn. Most people thought, well, you know, that's his cracked rear view. He will not have a Fairweather Johnson, but his Fairweather Johnson is Bo Nix.
That's one of my favorite analogies you have go through over the years.
I've got to go back. I don't want to torture myself, but I don't think I've heard that entire album.
What, cracked rear? I mean, Fairweather Johnson?
Well, either or.
What? Was there a good song on there?
Yes, there was. There was one, not like a great song.
It was one maybe good one.
Be the One, Tuckerstown, So Strange, Sad Caper, She Crawls Away.
Old Man and Me were there.
Old Man and Me.
That's the album that turned him to country music, right? Because people were like, hey, look, you're not good at this.
Yeah. You know why this was the one that was the hit?
Why?
Because it was the one that sounded most like the other album.
That's true. This could have been a correct review.
Yeah. This is the infamous Fairweather Johnson album.
It's like they tried really hard to be Counting Crows, and they just weren't good enough.
They sold a lot of albums.
They did sell a lot of albums. But, I mean, when you think Let Her Cry, Hold My Hand, Only Want to Be With You, and their first one, I mean, boy, they started strong, man.
I mean, really good advice is not to put all your hits on your first album.
Well, but you don't know they're going to be hits.
You don't, but you say, okay, we've got 12 really good
let's
songs.
Let's bury a couple.
Let's only use six of them. I mean, I've got every day, you guys see, y'all throw out topics. I write topics down. Every show, I'm sitting here with 20, 21 topics. Do I put them all in one show?
No, that'd be burning it.
Yeah, but you don't know what's going to hit and what's not going to hit.
I have a good feeling of what I think.
But the problem with some of that is, Jim, there are times you throw those topics away. Like, hey, they never made it into the show.
You
don't know. It could have been a hit.
Some of the best segments we do are never on that show.
That is correct. Those are our unknown hits.
Our best.
That's segments. Just us. It's just a jam session that turns into something.
That's right.
Not some of the best segments, probably all of our best segments.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. None of our good segments are ever written down here.
Yeah.
That's just to get us from 6 to 10 to fill air until we get something good going. Until we're talking about Greenland.
That's right.
Okay,
Greenland versus Iceland.
Better chance Bo Nix ends up being an All-American under Brian Harsin or Hootie and the Blowfish get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Bo Nix, All-American. I mean, I don't think Hootie and the Blowfish will ever be back together, and they have one CD. That doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame, does it?
Are there any one-hit wonders in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Rockstar?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, I wouldn't call them one-hit wonders. I mean, they had three or four.
Hey, is Boston in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes.
No.
I think they are.
No, I don't think they
are. I was playing golf.
Sweet Melissa, are you kidding me?
That's right.
I was playing golf with...
No, I think they are. Yes, finally got in.
I was playing golf with a friend of mine, Brian. Dunaway knows him. He's played golf with him out at Ballantrae, and he's a Boston fan.
Boston, the band, not the Red Sox, of course.
I like the town.
So, important clarification there, Jim. We're talking music. Yes, it is not the Red Sox. It's Boston, the band.
If you're listening to the show right now and you hear, it's a sports talk show occasionally.
Right.
He's a Boston fan.
Right. So he's a fan of the band Boston. He told me they only had three albums, like original Boston, because the main guy died, right? Not Tom Schultz, but the main singer died.
He got swept overboard, right?
Yeah.
That would hurt the fourth album.
That inch. Yeah.
Was it Loverboy or Boston, the dude that got swept into the Pacific Ocean and they never found him?
Loverboy lost somebody on a cruise ship, I think. Weren't they a cruise ship performing band or something like that?
So you're telling me the 80s, it was lost at sea, what the 60s were, plane crashes for music artists.
Yeah, or 50s.
Yeah, so he said they only had three albums, which, I mean, they put out a lot of music, a lot of good music. I know, Lance, you don't like them, but a lot of popular music for only three albums.
I respect the influence, and I'm blown away that you tell me that. I would have said 6, 7 at least.
Yeah, I think the original group, they had three albums, and then Tom Schultz tried to come back for some money later on in the 90s and couldn't do it. Yeah, they had Boston, Don't Look Back, and Third Stage.
Okay, when we come back next segment, I'm going to try to pull up a list. And I want you guys to do it, too. And you can do it at home or at work if you're doing this. Just play along with us if you're riding down the road. Of everyone who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I want you to give me the weakest artist that's in there.
Oh, there's quite a few.
Yeah, this is a big
list. The best Boston band of all time has got to be Aerosmith, right?
I mean, you're asking me, do I like Aerosmith? I like Aerosmith. You're asking me, do I know another Boston? Do I know Aerosmith's from Boston? No, I didn't know any of that.
Okay, well, I know there's Boston and there's Aerosmith. And the best Boston movie ever, would you go The Departed or Good Will Hunting?
I'd go The Departed.
I would, too.
I would go Town.
But Town is awesome.
The Town is good.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, very good, Jim.
There you go.
What's the one where
we had Ben Affleck trivia last night, and that was, you know, the thing I think about with Ben Affleck, most people go Good Will Hunting. I think about The Town.
No, I think Matt Damon on Good Will Hunting. I really think Ben Affleck, he's a...
But he co-wrote it.
I know, but...
Butch says it was self-inflicted on the Boston lead singer.
It was, but Brad Delp was the one that was the lead singer, I think, and he left the band before that happened. So the band broke up after three albums.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rod in Vestavia before we take our next break. Rod, welcome in. NFL schedule released last night. Are you a Lions fan, Rod, or you just want to take a shot at
absolutely.
Detroit? Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm a Lions fan. I grew up in Detroit. So, I've talked to Lance about that before. I'm hardcore Detroit for some reason.
So what do you think of your schedule? I've got them listed as one of the toughest schedules in football.
Absolutely. When I saw it, it's brutal. It is completely brutal. I'll get to see them on the 26th, though, when they come to Atlanta. But that schedule is absolutely it's a horrible schedule.
Yeah, I mean, best case, you guys are favored in 5 of 17 games.
Wow.
But you know what? There were some guys on YouTube. They were Lions fans, and they were going talking about the schedule. And these guys were like, "Yeah, I see about 7 or 8 wins while they were drinking Michelob and smoking marijuana." I was like, "What? 8 wins? What are you talking about?" But yeah, that's a. I mean, if we get, I honestly said 3 and 14, and but if we get more than, if we can match the win total of Patricia and get 5, I'll be happy with it. I just want us to be competitive. that's really what I want. Cause you got to take baby steps with the Lions. And, so that's brutal. But on a side note, I don't know if you guys talk about this. UAB got a home-to-home with West Virginia.
Yeah, in basketball. Yeah.
In basketball. Yeah. Bob Huggins and Kennedy are such good friends.
Yeah, Andy had told us on the show that that was going to happen, but it is official now.
So that's a bright spot for the upcoming fall. But anyway, that's all I got.
All right, man. Thank you, Rock.
Appreciate that. 6:44. Weakest team in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when we come back. By the way, Cody, the Cars from Boston, too, he says. You like the Cars?
Again, it's one of those bands that I respect. Their lead singer, I guess, passed away in the last couple of years as well.
He did. Looks like Howard Stern.
Yeah, I would still say he did well with the ladies, though. I would still say that Aerosmith would be that band.
I think the very first year of Stake Bets of the show, we do not have. And then I started keeping up with them. I think Saber was charged with it for the first few years or months of the show.
Right.
Well, honestly, I think after the first year, and I'm not saying this because you have balanced it out a lot since then, but I think your accountant got involved after the first year.
My wife.
His British accountant.
Yeah. I will tell you, last night.
Too many pounds being spent.
We went to Fleming's, one of our great sponsors, for a steak. And I think it was the first time I've ever been to Fleming's with you that we were not paying off a steak bet. We split the check last night, and I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
I don't think that was the first time.
You don't think so?
No, it is. It was one of the few times that we've done that.
It was weird being there, and, you know, we always even get it from the great staff at Fleming's. Dunaway, you're paying off a steak. That's always the first thing. Dunaway, you're paying off a steak? No, actually, tonight we're just hanging out.
Have I said no so much y'all just quit asking me? Is that the deal?
It was such a quick thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't go either.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm curious because I do say no. I don't deny that every time y'all invite me, I really don't go.
It really was on the fly. So sure. I called Dunaway, and within 10 minutes, he had picked me up.
Yeah. But I'm at Walk-Ons. I'll be right there.
That's what he did. I knew, Brown, though, I was going to reach out to you. I knew Rocky was going to be backtracking from where he was coming from.
Right.
So I knew Rocky probably had no desire to go eat one bowl of mac and cheese.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I got to get to the mac and cheese comment from Dunaway in a second. But I didn't ask you, Brown, because I thought there was no way you'd turn it around that quick.
Yeah. I mean, you guys do know once I'm already home, the chances of getting me back out of home are pretty tough. Yeah, that's a pretty small chance.
Your home life's a little different. I mean, Dunaway's got one in college that's working. Yeah. He's got another one in high school that's working.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I did have to take my youngest to Taekwondo. She's chasing that green belt.
And the sun was still up, so we thought maybe you were still on the golf course.
But when it comes to, you know, we order the steaks, and then when it comes to the side, Dunaway's like, whatever you want. Do you want to get mac and cheese? And, you know, he doesn't like mac and cheese, so of course he throws that out there.
But I usually, when you guys order the mac and cheese, I will get, when we're at Fleming's, because I will get like two or three noodles, and I'll put it down just to sample it.
That's right. You know, still don't like it.
Just to pass the bowl.
I'm really confused. You like cheese, right?
I like cheese.
You like pasta?
I do.
What is not to like about macaroni and cheese?
It's the best combination in the world.
It's too cheesy. But I can eat it. I can eat it.
Of course, you don't like cheese dip.
I don't like queso when we're at a restaurant.
Is this really? I'm watching a man and a woman going toe to toe in a parking lot of a gas station.
Yes,
like
yes,
throwing haymakers. That was fuel.
That was not the only one. There were fights all over. I saw one in Dallas. I saw one locally. I saw one in Charlotte.
Man, I'd rather bike around town than.
And can you look at this live shot, by the way?
Diana Rossini.
Yeah.
And Abby Chin, when they had a kid together.
The Fox News version of Abby Chin and Diana Rossini's baby.
Uh-huh.
Avondale, New Jersey is where they're doing this live shot, but they keep showing all these tank farms, Colonial Pipeline tank farms, and everyone continues to think these live shots in America are all happening off I-65 in Pelham. I even had a guy last night at Fleming's say, you know, they keep showing the tank farm right there in Pelham.
Yeah, but we don't have that color. They don't have the prints not on there. We have just a plain tank? We've got a Penn State tank.
No, I think we do have one that has a Colonial Pipeline on it.
I've driven past the tank farm so often, I should know this, but I don't.
Listen, I didn't want to bring this up because of the landmine history.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. Please don't.
But
we'll never
shout
run out
Jerry
of gas.
Jones. Yes.
One of my very few jobs not in broadcasting was one summer at that Colonial Pipeline tank farm.
Oh, yeah. You've told that story. Yeah.
Where,
what was it you did?
A lot of the summer. Ronnie Rasp and I worked there. A lot of the great Ronnie Rasp.
You buried a body behind it, didn't you?
A lot of the summer, I turned rocks over loose kept the rocks loose around the tanks because it was a drainage thing.
What can this kid do? Yeah. Really, turn the rocks over is about it.
Just flip a rock. Use a
I'm not even at the site. Well, just do it at home. Send us a picture. We believe you.
But the worst job ever was walking the pipelines and having to mark where the pipe was underground. And all they gave us was this big metal thing that we jammed into the ground.
There's the pipe.
Well, they heard early you were not good at laying pipe.
That was true.
Did you mark it with? Like paint so they could see it from the sky?
Yep. They would mark it, and they'd come back and put one of those metal identifiers that you could fly over them and see it. Why that was important, I guess they fly over to check for leaks.
So you would jam that thing down in the ground, and if you heard pipe, you knew you had a pipe there.
Should be noted that Ronnie Rass did most of the...
jamming down in the ground?
Yeah, most of the muscle work.
Man, I don't know who's had the most random jobs, because Brown worked at a batting cage. I worked at car washes. I sold garbage bags.
Selling garbage bags is easily the most random. I've never heard of... You are the only person I have ever in my life heard of that sold garbage bags. And it wasn't for like a school fundraiser. It was a legitimate job.
But I'm going to say less than a percent of the percent has worked at a batting cage.
Well, I ran the batting cage. They just worked there, Lance.
Yeah, this is Mr. Echo, dude.
I mean, Rockstar, what was your most random job you've ever had?
I worked at a car wash.
Damien, hold up your drink real quick.
Were you rain tunnel?
It was rain tunnel.
Okay. What? Oh, this is a reflection when you walked in. It looked like it was a clear glass, like you were drinking a mimosa or orange juice or something. But it's a coffee cup. But it has gold lettering. And just the way it hit the lights, you were walking in. I was like, is there a buffet breakfast up here today? And he's got orange juice?
Go ahead. Then I worked at a Carmike Cinemas, so clean theaters, and a bow tie.
Yeah, I mean, that's not random. The car wash isn't random. I mean, I worked at multiple car washes.
I got one. For like 3 months, I worked as a fossil... watch salesman who didn't wear a watch at the time, and I was told to stand on my feet. I had to stand on my feet all day, and you get like a 30-minute lunch break. This is during...
Was this kiosk in Galleria?
No, you were in Parisians.
Kiosk in... I think it was Parisian at the Summit.
Yeah, so you were actually in Parisians.
Yeah, and like people would come up to me every time. And like,
well, the good thing is you like to talk to people, especially strangers.
Well, people would ask me, I'm getting this for my boyfriend. Well, I was like, I don't wear a watch. I don't know. I really don't know.
Great salesman.
Thank you, sir.
A girl would come up to me with a bra going, can you check me out? And I go, I can't check you out. I have no capability. I'm not allowed. I don't work at Parisian. And they would get so pissed.
It's like she's trying to buy a bra.
Somebody would come up with slacks going, all right, man, because this pack, can you check me out? Ma'am, I don't even know how to work the cash register. Come on, please, just one item. I literally, they don't even give me access to money.
That is so rockstar.
Do they still make a watch?
Yeah, I think they're making a comeback. You know who's making a comeback? Swatch. Do you remember the Swatch watch?
That's been years ago.
Yeah, but no, they're making a comeback, though. I saw a Swatch store in a mall somewhere.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like 10 years ago, I got the kids Swatches at a place in Vegas.
I mean, if British Knights make a comeback.
They better. Those diamonds.
I used to have a pair.
I don't think department stores are making a comeback right now.
Are not.
When we were leaving Fleming's last night, I looked over at the big one over there. I won't say the name, but you know it. And I thought it was closed. There was like three cars.
No, that place, they don't have any. Nobody shops there. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Right.
Well, and their hours are totally different. Nobody knows the hours.
I think people, you know, get a lot of stuff shipped to them now on a big super yacht owned by one Amazon guy. all right. Todd writes in. He says, I filled privately owned ATMs with cash for a year. That was his job.
Oof.
Pretty sketchy driving around with thousands of dollars in 20s to random gas station ATMs. Todd? Yes, that does sound pretty scary. I would not want that job.
No. I delivered printers for a while.
Delivered printers?
Yeah, like to different office buildings throughout Birmingham.
Can I interest you in some trash bags while I'm here?
Yep. Oh. And my friend would like, he doesn't have one on, but my friend would like to sell you a watch.
I know a guy that had a job once that involved transporting cash. And it involved some overnight stays because he had to go city to city. Mm. And, I mean, all it takes is one person figuring out. I mean, he had to change up his patterns. Like, he wouldn't stay in the same hotel all the time, not eating the same restaurants. He just kept his pattern erratic so that nobody would ever figure out he's got a duffel bag that might have 250 grand cash in it.
It's almost like being on the run. Are you not uneasy?
He was, yeah. I mean, I constantly had to pack heat, you know, had to be careful going into the hotel because he would not leave the bag of cash in the car. He had taken the hotel with him, but... You know, you're always thinking somebody's going to figure out what's in this bag.
I mean, you got to take it to the bathroom with you, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you never leave it out of your sight. I mean, $250,000, somebody takes that from you, it's going to hurt.
Seems like there's a better way to do that. That's a tough job. I wouldn't want that one. 713 Jocks Roundtable. Okay, when you start speaking of NFL strength of schedule, and we mentioned how difficult the first five games are for Miami at New England, Buffalo at Las Vegas, Indianapolis at Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh ends their season with Tennessee, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Baltimore. Imagine you get to, you know, games 14, 15, 16, and 17, and you need to find a win, two wins to make the playoffs, and you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you get to the end, and you've got Tennessee, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Baltimore. Those last three games could keep Pittsburgh out of the playoffs. That's instantly why when I later this summer make my pick for playoff teams, Pittsburgh's out. I agree.
I think even if you go back to almost mid-season, starting with the Bengals right after Thanksgiving, at the Bengals is going to be a really difficult game. You know, I fully expect that Joe Burrow is going to be that much better in year two. Ja'Marr Chase could almost be like a, I don't want to say Randy Moss rookie year, but I think Ja'Marr Chase, you saw what Justin Jefferson did last year.
Yep.
Ja'Marr Chase is a better receiver. So I think Ja'Marr Chase will have an immediate impact. Then you've got the Ravens at home. The Ravens are a better team. I know it's at Hines. Then you go to Minnesota, which, again, without Aaron Rodgers, I believe will be the best team in the North. Then you mentioned the Titans at the Chiefs, the Browns, and at the Ravens. I mean, they could go 2-6 down the stretch, and I agree with you. I think they miss the postseason.
I mean, the NFL is so different than college. You look at college, and you're like, okay, those are guaranteed wins. I never look at an NFL schedule and think that's a guaranteed win. But rarely do I look at it and look at a finish like that and think, man, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not sure they win any of those.
Well, you think about how bad the finish was last year, Brown, when they got worn down that offensive line. Roethlisberger was, you know, throwing pick after pick. They start 11-0, and then the bottom completely fell out.
I remember Mort being on the show, Chris Mortensen, who frequently comes on with us, and I remember asking him the question, the record tells me Pittsburgh's the best team in football, are they? And he said, no, they are not. And it was shortly after that that, like you said, Lance, the wheels came off. And when they came off, it got pretty ugly at times.
I look at the New York Giants beginning, and they go Denver, Atlanta, and Washington. That's a good way to ease into the season for them.
But depending on who Denver's quarterback is.
If Denver's quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, no, but yes. If Denver's quarterback is, you know, not Aaron Rodgers, yeah, that is a fairly easy way. I mean,
well,
I'm in the here we are in the preseason, and I'm thinking Atlanta's offense is going to be magnificent this year. I do this every single season.
Well, you're skipping over Washington, second best defense in the NFL last year. Your man Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think they've got more stability at quarterback.
I agree. If they get any kind of play like he played last year for Miami, Lance, they're back in the playoffs.
Look, very winnable game for New York, but at the same time, Washington's going to be favored in that game, and I think year three for Daniel Jones is pivotal.
When I do my prediction later in the summer, remind me to have San Francisco and Cleveland in there because they have two of the easiest schedules. San Francisco considered the easiest by the Vegas win total.
You know,
and Cleveland the third easiest with Denver sandwiched between them.
We did the survival pool yesterday, and you and I are one of them. I know I mentioned San Francisco. I think one of you agreed with me. San Francisco playing at Detroit.
It was me. Yeah, 49ers.
Yeah, and then when the Lions came out yesterday, San Francisco was like a 6.5, 7-point favorite in that game. Lance, you think Garoppolo is going to have a good season.
I do.
It feels like Las Vegas thinks the same thing about him.
And now they've got a schedule to match with that. The toughest ones against the win totals, the Raiders, the Steelers, the Texans, the Lions, and the Bengals. And, you know, the Raiders and the Bengals could be battling for, you know, a wild card spot at some point. Those other three teams, specifically those the Texans and Lions, you got to start wondering, is that where Sam Howell ends up? One of those two places. If Sam Howell is the number one quarterback in next year's draft, there's two places right there that could need quarterback.
Well, you know, the Lions are going to have to make a decision. You've got Jared Goff, and what are you going to do with this contract?
If you were number one overall,
you would draft quarterback.
I think you probably go quarterback, more than likely. And I think those are probably the two worst teams in the NFL. I lean the Texans are going to be the worst team.
I do, too. I do, too, because we don't expect Deshaun Watson. Anything else before we put the I got one more stat, and then give me something.
Well, I was going to give you these guys. Quarterback matchups.
Okay.
They're good.
Before you do that,
all right.
one more just stat from ESPN last night. Primetime games with Pete Carroll, his record is unbelievable, and he gets the Rams, the Saints, and the 49ers.
Feels like we get a lot of Sunday night games with Pete Carroll.
Primetime at home, he is 22-3.
Woo!
I mean, in the NFL, if you got percentage on that, 22-3, and I think he, if I read this right, he gets the Rams, the Saints, and the 49ers all at home in prime time, where he's 22-3.
It's hard to believe.
That is an amazing stat for you there. Okay, you've got some grudge matchups.
Yeah, your revenge games. You mentioned one earlier, Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick, Tampa versus New England. That is a October 3rd NBC game. Yeah, I mean, we're all in on that one.
But if you're looking at the grudge match in that, I think now it's New England against Brady because Brady has won a Super Bowl. If this had been played last year, it'd be like Brady trying to stick it to the Patriots. But after last year now, I think this will be Belichick trying to stick it to Brady.
It does feel like there's no love lost between Brady and Belichick. We'll probably get the awkward handshake hug, but it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of love lost there.
But for Brady, it's house money now because they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a big game for Belichick.
It is.
Big game for Belichick.
And he'll get so tired of the questions that week. That'll be vintage Belichick press conference that week. I'll talk about my quarterback. I'm here to talk about my quarterback.
Yeah.
Tom's a great player. I'm here to talk about.
Tom's not on my team.
I'm talking about Cam Newton. The 24th of October, Rockstars Lions with their new quarterback, Jared Goff, against Matt Stafford. Do you think Goff, Lance, will try to pay some revenge? I mean, I know, Rockstar, you joked that'll be his worst game. It wouldn't surprise me if it's his best game playing against the Rams. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the game, Lance, but it's a 305 Fox game. But, I mean, if Jared Goff's got anything about him, he'll play his best game against the Rams.
I do think Dan Campbell and the way they're going to run this offense is going to be much different. They're going to try to protect Goff. No Golladay now. No Marvin Jones. I think DeAndre Swift's going to be the focus of that offense.
December 19th, NBC game. Jameis Winston in New Orleans playing Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, he got one great play in the playoffs, where he went out there and did the razzle-dazzle play, the old flea flicker, and threw a touchdown.
He'll be the starter in all likelihood this time. Yeah. You got to feel like he'd want to show out against Tampa, if anybody.
Yeah, but, I mean, hats off to Jameis. He's in a better situation now with a coach that fits him.
Tampa's in a better situation.
Yeah, and Tampa, obviously, with Tom Brady and world champions. But Jameis has an opportunity here, now that he's getting to play, to reset everything and have a great career.
November 7th, CBS noon kick, Cam Newton at Carolina. You think there might be a little revenge for Cam Newton in Carolina?
Still, you think?
I mean,
a year has passed. And
again, though, I mean, if you want to show out against anybody, it'd be Carolina. And then we mentioned this one yesterday, the week one, Sam Darnold against the Jets.
Yeah,
now that's a fun little matchup.
Yeah, a lot more fire in that one to me. If you're Sam Darnold, you're going to go up there and you're going, oh, look, I mean, you drafted Zach and then you started drafting all these great receivers. You brought in offensive linemen. You did none of this for me.
Yep.
But here I am with Carolina.
I think it's interesting to see how these quarterbacks that the other team moved on from compete against them. If you're any sort of competitor.
It did seem like the NFL almost went NCAA tournament selection committee and built in some storylines.
Well, and if you were going to do Darnold against the Jets, you pretty much had to do it week one because those two teams could be non-factors by the middle of the season.
I mean, we got some good weather coming up today and for the next few days. Look forward to getting out and enjoying that. It has been a weird weather month to me. I don't remember May being this cold.
Well, we're halfway through it, basically.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. I had a hoodie and a jacket on this morning, and look, I'm ready to get in the pool.
I know. We're halfway through it, and we're still fighting to get out of the mid-70s.
Also, this is the weird time of year. It's like 2 or 3 weeks, it seems like, in May. Or I don't know if it's May or when we're coming to work, and it's a little lighter outside.
No, yeah, you know, there's like, some summer months where we actually get some sun.
But it only
sun.
Lasts for like 2 or 3 weeks, it seems like.
No, but it feels like the fall.
No, it feels like we're in California is what it feels like.
I mean, desert weather.
I felt like we went to dinner last night and we were in that little town across the Golden Gate where you look across the bay at San Francisco.
Sausalito.
Alcatraz.
Yeah, that one.
Hey, by the way, real quick, Pete Thamel reporting that it will not be all over luck with the Pac-12. According to sources with Pete Thamel of Yahoo, he is not the guy, Dunaway.
I didn't think he was going to be Oliver Luck. Was he a favorite? Was he a buzzword guy?
Mm-hmm. There were reports.
I thought with what went on with Vince McMahon when he left college athletics to go do that, that was a bad move for him.
Pete Thamel, he'd been considered one of the favorites throughout the process, Oliver Luck had. So it reset there, boys.
Yeah, at one time, he was going to be the president of the NCAA and replace Mark Emmer, and I thought he made a bad career choice going to the XFL.
You think?
729, you had a random fact LT for us.
Well, yeah, I got a little quiet on the last segment because I was looking at something, Sean McVay, when we were talking about schedules.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, no, because I fell into this hole. So Chris Shula, have you ever heard the name Chris Shula?
Was it Don's grandson?
So he's Dave Shula's son.
Okay.
But he is the linebackers coach for the Rams.
I think I was aware of this, yeah.
Okay, so he played at Miami of Ohio with Sean McVay.
Okay.
So reading Sean McVay, some of his bio, he lives with his Eastern Bloc girlfriend, his fiance now.
I've seen photos of her.
But Chris Shula also lives with them at McVay's house.
That was a roomie.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's almost Tommy Tuberville and Ed Orgeron. Without the subtitle.
McVay just said he had so much room in this house that, you know, they're such good friends. Just invited Chris Shula to live there.
Huh.
There's a first world problem.
I have so much room in my house.
I really don't want that room.
I don't use like 80% of it.
We'll never
see.
So
interesting.
We've got six bedrooms, and you and I are sharing the same bed. We might as well let Chris live here. I mean, the Shulas. I mean, when I think linebacking, I think Shula family.
It makes Trivial Pursuit more interesting.
It really does. But, you know, if it's a mother-in-law suite, it would be one thing. But if you're using the same entrance and all that and kitchen, that's just got to be awkward.
Honestly, I've had two of my really good friends, and you guys know them well. They went through, we'll say, transitional situations.
Okay.
But they lived with me for a couple of months at a time.
Right. Was it awkward?
No, not at all.
I mean,
they were downstairs because I've got that, what you, I guess, would consider a mother-in-law suite.
Even with family.
I called it a C-Stew suite.
It was for a while.
I mean, it'll always have a name on it.
Even with family, I hate staying in people's houses. Like if I'm on the road.
Yeah, I do too.
I'd rather just pay the money and get a hotel. I'm never comfortable in someone else's house.
Lori gives me a quick text real quick this morning. Tell Lance I paid a lot of money, but I just bought gas, no problem, in Cahaba Heights, so you have to go to the wedding.
Well, no, it's Thursday. I mean, we could run out.
Yeah, everything. It could go south.
Anything could happen.
Now, the reports are Alabama, only 9% of stations are without gas, Lance. So if people see those reports.
Yeah. I mean, you may have to go to East Toboga, but you'll get some gas.
I mean, it's readily available in the 280 corridor.
The roommate has got a fall wedding this year.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Paul on Twitter, big Alabama fan, says he's not going to his sister's wedding because it's the same day of Alabama at Florida.
It's justified.
It is. We have discussed this on the show.
It's silly.
If you schedule a wedding on a fall Saturday in the South, you accept that people aren't going to come to your wedding.
Well, and I'll tell you.
You do that by scheduling.
This is one of her friends she went to high school with, and I don't want to call him by name. I know the guy pretty well, and he's a really, really nice guy. And I was just shocked when we got the invitation that he agreed to this. Yeah. It tells me that he is not wearing the pants in the relationship. Yeah.
For those that are getting married, though, now is a good time to buy that first house, or maybe you're wanting to sell a house or whatever
it's
else.
Nice transition there, don't we? I mean, by the way, it is a seller's market.
We have had a show. I mean, I've got about 26 of these I got to do today. I got to work them in somewhere.
That's good, man. We want 30. Advertise with Jax. Look, if you're thinking about selling your home this year, make sure you talk to my friend Stephanie Brumbelow. I've known her for years with EXP Realty. You need to talk to her first. Stephanie has helped quite a few of our listeners buy and sell homes as a supporter of the station. She loves helping our listeners. Your home may be worth more than you think. Stephanie came out to my house a couple of weeks ago. I was blown away with the numbers she threw at me. It's a seller's market. Let Stephanie help you get the most money for your home. It's not unusual for Stephanie's listings to get multiple offers and sell for over the asking price. This is a win-win. I trust Stephanie Brumbelow. Make the call today. Set up the appointment to get your home sold today. 205-567-2000. That's 205-567-2000 or online agent205.com.
Is it hard to get an easy number like that? 567-2000? That's easy to remember.
No, it really is.
I mean,
how about that cool website, agent205.com, though?
Agent205, we need you in the office.
567-2000. Even I can remember that after you say that. A lot of numbers just wash over me.
You got to be early in line to get that.
Does she have to call Senator Tommy Tuberville to get that number?
She might have.
Yeah. I'm having dinner with LT last night, and he's like, God, you know, is it too quick to go back and ask?
Did y'all have dinner last night?
I bring it up for this. Lance goes, You think it's too quick to go back and ask for another help on another passport?
Good Lord, Lance.
One for me, it was to help somebody else.
Yeah, just help somebody else. Yeah, it may be too quick to go back to that well.
It seemed like you connected with Tommy over the nukes discussion Lance.
Again, Tuberville had nothing to do with this. He has got some hard-working assistants. He said that on the show.
He did.
I think he said he's got like 40 people working underneath him. But Deanna out in Leeds, she was my girl.
Yeah. By the way, I joked with Tommy, you weren't there, Brown, when he said that. I said, oh, you almost got Nick Saban's staff.
Of what, 40 people working under?
40 people working with him. All right, 734. Speaking of coaching staffs, Jim Harbaugh has one in Michigan, we assume. And he is, you know, consistently on a lot of people's hot seat. Yeah. Mike Farrell of Rivals has a thought about Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat.
Farrell does a thing on Rivals called Fact or Fiction. And people throw him a question, and it's fact or fiction. They threw him. Jim Harbaugh is on the hottest seat of any coach in America. Would you go fact or fiction on that?
Fiction.
I go fiction.
He went fiction. Who do you think he went fact?
Of Power Five?
Both of these are Power Five. I don't know that that was a, you know, I don't know that that was a qualifier, but yes, both these are Power Five guys.
One of them is Ed Orgeron at LSU because of everything that has gone on off the field.
That is incorrect. According to Mike used.
I don't know. I don't care who Mike says.
I'm telling you who it is. Give me a conference.
Ed Orgeron is one of them.
So you would go Orgeron, Dunaway. He gave two. Would you like to add another one just to see?
Let LT go, and then I will volley back after that.
What's conference?
We have a Pac-12 and a Big Ten. Wow, I thought Pac-12 might give it away.
The Pac-12 one.
And don't say Clay Helton.
That's who he said.
It can't be Clay Helton. He's done too good of a job.
He really has.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
But Clay Helton, again, it was an abbreviated season, was undefeated in the regular season, didn't play who they were supposed to in the Pac-12 championship game. The guy's been to a Rose Bowl. He's won a Pac-12 championship.
Urban Meyer being off the market helps him, you think?
I think it helps him.
I do, too.
I mean, look, if you were going to fire Clay Helton, if you're Mike Bone, you do it last year, and you go out and you make sure that Urban Meyer's your guy. I mean, who do you go get if you're USC?
Well, right now? I mean, the names have always been Urban Meyer, James Franklin. Franklin's coming off the worst year he's had at Penn State. Yeah. Now, it's understandable in all that went on.
Now, he's going to put Mike Locksley, maybe, of Maryland. But
no,
I did not. I think it's James Franklin at Penn State who has a little bit to prove in Happy Valley.
Bad year last year, but they came on strong at the end of the year.
But if you back up another year like you had last year at Happy Valley at Penn State this deep into it, you're on a hot seat at that point.
His second one... And when I say Big Ten, I still struggle to think of Nebraska.
Scott Frost?
Yeah, Nebraska's a Big Ten school, but it's Scott Frost. And
wow.
I mean, look.
They're not going to fire him.
You say that, but this is a fan base that thinks they should be in the discussions of Alabama and Oklahoma and Clemson and Georgia. And the numbers are the numbers for Scott Frost. He can't run from 12-29-17 in conference. He can't run from that.
No.
He's not had a winning record as the Nebraska coach. And if I give you Nebraska's history, I don't care if you play for Nebraska or not. If a guy goes four straight years without a winning record, he's probably getting fired historically.
Well, what's got to be so demeaning for Nebraska fans is if Scott Frost can't get it done, I mean, really, who can?
I know. I mean, at some point, you got to look in the mirror and ask that question. But historically, Nebraska's played football, I guess, for probably 125, 150 years, right?
What is this, year four for him?
Yeah. Historically, if you go 4 years without a winning record, you've probably been fired as the Nebraska coach.
Yeah, and I think his first year at 4-8 was probably his best year, just the way they played in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I do not consider him on the hot seat.
Boy, I do.
I do not.
I do. I know he's one of yours, and I know you want to deal with kid gloves in that.
You just can't keep – you can't do it as fast as they're turning it over.
This is why Heupel's going to get some time at Tennessee.
That's right.
That's
exactly right.
It's easy for us to say that from the distance. And I agree with you. It doesn't make sense to keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. But it's a whole lot different when it's your team.
Frost will get more years than Josh Heupel will. Now, I know Frost is going into his fourth year. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's their guy.
That's their guy. Heupel's not a Tennessee guy. He will be on a shorter leash than Frost is. Frost will get 6 years.
Of Mike Farrell's three names, Frost and Helton ultimately will lose their jobs. I mean, for coaches, you either retire, you get fired, or you get a new job. I will tell you right now, Jim Harbaugh will never get fired at Michigan.
I believe that, too.
And he's been better record-wise maybe than some of these. But I just want to go back to Nebraska real quick. The last three coaches they've had have been asked to leave, or really the last four have been asked to leave. Frank Solich was 58-19 and was asked to leave. Bill Callahan was 27-22 and asked to leave.
Bo Pelini did a pretty good job.
He was 40 games above 500, Lance. He was 67-27 and was asked to leave. Mike Riley was 500 at 19-19 and was asked to leave. Scott Frost is 12-20
right now. I got to be honest. I forgot Mike Riley was their coach.
I know. It's easy to forget.
But that's where it went bad.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
No, it was Callahan. My bad. Sorry, Mike Riley.
Well, I mean, Pelini.
This is Riley.
Pelini was 67-27. I mean, it was pretty average.
Grandma Riley.
But, I mean, guys, his record is so far worse than any of these other guys that were asked to leave. I could see it with Scott Frost.
7:39, you can read what Mike Farrell thinks there. I truly believe that Frost will stay there. I think Ed Orgeron can't have a, and I don't think he will, but he can't have a really bad year this year. And I think they're going to be, you know, maybe second in the West.
The off-the-field complicates it with him. There's
the
no
off-the-field thing that if you back that up with badness, with horrible play on the field and you're 6-6, or if you miss a bowl game, then you get fired. You get fired, and it can happen quickly, even if you win a national championship with everything that's going on outside of LSU football.
You remember we were in the hole of the pandemic last year, and one of the exercises we did was how many coaches would be fired. And I don't.
One of us wrongly said zero.
Yeah, I think that was you. I think we had.
I think it was me, actually.
Yeah,
I believe
it was around.
Yeah, but the number wasn't big. It was like two or three.
But it was more than we thought.
But this is one of those years when you look at Power Fives. I mean, everyone in the SEC is safe.
I think so.
Yeah, everyone in the SEC is safe. Right.
Unless Orgeron, unless the off-the-field really bubbles up like Dunaway said.
But that's because you've changed coaches. I mean, Nick Saban's buzzing through these coaches so quickly. Everybody's a new coach, basically.
Everyone is safe in the Pac-12. I mean, if Chip Kelly had a complete implosion, he's the only one that could lose his job. I mean, I guess if USC or UCLA had complete implosions, but I just don't see it. So I think everybody in the Pac-12 is south, or the Pac-12 is safe. Big Ten?
Loxley could be in trouble.
I still argue Scott Frost. Boy, Loxley, this is year three for him, right?
Yeah. What's his record, though?
But it wasn't bad last year. I mean, he was 2-3 last year.
Yeah. See, that's the problem is they played so few games.
I think everybody's safe in the Big 12. I think this is one of those years. I mean, this might be the year where nobody gets fired.
Yeah. You're going to lose money betting on that every year.
I know.
Loxley to finish, Jim, 6-17, 4-16 in conference. Not been great.
There are some of the ACC that could lose their job. Justin Fuente could lose his job.
He could, yes.
ULT forget just how crazy boosters are with their money and how prideful they are. Yeah. And at some point they're like, you know, 7-5 just isn't what we are here at State U.
They literally had their worst financial year they'll ever have in college football, and four SEC coaches got fired.
Yep, four of them. All right, let's do four downs brought to you by Vulcan Tires. You don't want to go to Morgantown and play West Virginia on some bad tires.
Negative. No, you do not. Four great locations from our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. The next time you need one or a set of new tires, do yourself a favor. Stop by. See the guys at Vulcan Tire and Auto. Locally owned and operated with a wide selection of the top tire brands available. The guys there can get you set, get you safely back out on the road. Four locations. For more information, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
What profession do you think you could lie about and insert yourself to the point where people believe you?
Well,
sportscasting.
I think I've been a professional tennis player in a variety of locations throughout.
Have you actually lied about that? Have you really lied about that?
We've had fun a couple of nights, yeah. You know, back late 20s to mid-30s, yeah. Professional tennis player. Google can kill you now, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think Rock's...
I'm off the grid. I'm an off-the-grid guy.
And I think, real quick, Brown, I think I told you the story about my friend that went as Eric Zier one night. Place called... Anybody that used to frequent Buckhead back in the heyday of Buckhead back in the 90s,
right.
He was Eric Zier a couple of nights.
Yeah.
It worked extremely well for him. I think we told Eric Zier that story when he came
up. I think he did. I think Eric Zier got a kick out of that. I honestly think Rockstar, I could fake it as an attorney.
Real easy to do.
Well, I don't know the law 100%. Now, I've been in enough meetings lately that the lingo has stuck to me.
No. I've watched you since 2011 now.
Right.
When we're around lawyers.
Uh-huh.
And 100% you think you
could fake it as a lawyer. No. The lawyers, we're around about every 3 years. they are the best in the absolute best in the business. Their grasp of the law blows me away.
Okay, absolutely.
I think I could do that.
No. Not to their level, but I've absorbed enough of the lingo, Lance. I think I could throw out some legalese.
Here's the give and take. It would be believable because almost every other person is an attorney. But at the same time, it would be unbelievable because every other person is an attorney. And if you got into a conversation when they started to ask you certain things, where'd you graduate law school? What's the Cumberland. Most interesting case? What kind of law do you practice?
Brown versus Board of Education.
What's your favorite part of that case?
Just the argument the Board of Education made was amazing, Rockstar. Yeah. No,
that's your only problem. Usually, outside of that, yes.
Usually I talk way too much in every meeting, that I'm involved in, except the ones when we're with lawyers and Brown is there, because he's like a kid in a candy store.
It is fascinating
to me. I just sit back and just watch him go.
I mean, our attorneys, again, they are incredible people. They're the best in the business. I love listening to them talk, though, because some of the stuff they say, I'm like, man, that is just fascinating. So I absorb that lingo, and I've brought it back out in conversations with other attorneys. And honestly, I've had attorneys look at me like, where'd you learn that?
I can do your job.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my sportscasting answer because I think I've done it for 25-plus.
Second down.
On what day of the week do you find yourself consistently the most tired?
It's amazing, but it's Monday coming out of the weekend, and it's Friday going into the weekend.
Oh, I thought if I had to guess for you, I would have guessed Thursday.
It's Thursday for me, by
because far. Of trivia at Otis.
Well, Thursday's tough. I did get a 22 last night on my just because I'm
that is a good score. Yeah.
Don't put that one on the spot.
Yeah, 952. It's coming up here in a second.
So you got 20 minutes.
Don't roll yet.
Cut that part out.
I get that, but I'll get a good nap usually on Thursday. But Friday, I don't know about you guys, but it's so getting up every day of the week by Friday, I'm just so worn down.
But Friday, you've got the joy of knowing that an alarm is not going to wake me up on Saturday.
That's right.
And you're doing stuff on Friday. Yeah, Friday doesn't get me. I feel like I've made it when I get
push
to Friday.
I'll typically stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning Saturday.
Yeah. Wednesday is mine. It's weird that this question came to us on Wednesday, and I immediately thought, it seems like Wednesday's where it hits me the hardest.
Yeah, I think Wednesday for me as well. And I'm same with you on Friday. I mean, I make it to Friday.
Yeah, I've lived.
Then I'm fired up, and I wake up Saturday morning early without an alarm because I'm excited because I don't have to work and it's a free day. And I chase down some pancakes and waffles and then boom, done.
Pancakes and waffles. He doubles down. I get irrationally excited about the fact that an alarm will not wake me up on Saturday and Sunday. I do get excited about that.
Second down.
What cliche tourist attraction that everyone goes to do you find yourself wanting to see?
I want to go. Well, I don't know if it's an attraction, not a city or a.
Because I don't want to see, we'll say New York City, but it's like I want to go to the Statue of Liberty. I know everybody goes there, but I'd love to get a picture of that Statue of Liberty, that kind of thing. I want to go to.
I want to go to the Grand Canyon. You know, I passed it. I drove across the country, and I remember we ate at some rat diner, and it was me and my old roommate in L.A. And we were like 45 minutes from the Grand Canyon. And I was like, I was kind of hungover. I was like, we could make this turn and see one of the most amazing visual things that is on this planet, or we can just keep pushing through.
And that diner.
We kept pushing through. So I've never seen it. So I would like to see the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I would tell you that we just recently talked about not going to the Grand Canyon, how it was, what else was around it.
Yeah, that's what you said. You said you see it and then you're done.
A friend of mine, the Stone family, their daughter just graduating from Sanford. They're out in the area now. I've followed them on Instagram. They've gone to the Grand Canyon, to Sedona.
I've heard Sedona's amazing.
They've done hot air ballooning. They've done hikes and mountain climbing. The Stone family vacation is winning right now, and it's all right in the Grand Canyon area. So I've changed my mind. I'd like to go to the Grand Canyon.
Another one for me, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Been there.
Yeah. Been there. It's
fun.
Yeah.
Hey, can I bring up something random?
It's really cool.
Who was the veteran we had on the show yesterday?
Captain Washington.
Yeah, so Captain Washington, he told this story, and it kind of, because we had bad cell signal and the cars coming by and stuff, he talked about one of his friends, because it was talking about suicide prevention amongst veterans. Did he not say that a guy jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and was saved by a sea lion?
Correct.
Survived, and the sea lion kept him afloat.
Yeah. That is one of the more amazing stories. First of all, who survives jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge?
I don't know.
It's very, 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 very rare.
But it had 18-wheelers not been screaming past him, I would have liked more detail on that story.
Yeah, because so you land, you've got to be unconscious at that point.
Yeah, and a sea lion saves
you. Sea lions are pretty aggressive animals, aren't they? Apparently not, Jim.
I would say mothers are, but I don't know if like the other ones are.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's an amazing story to think about that.
You know, mine's Disney, Rockstar, and I know it sounds crazy, but we took our kids to Disney a couple summers back and had the absolute time of our life, and our kids want to go back. We debated it during the pandemic because you got to wear the mask and all that mess and, the socially distanced lines and stuff like that, so I have absolutely no idea.
I'm told the best time to go to Disney is right now, other than the mask part, because they've got it so organized in the line.
That's what my brother told me. He went ahead and pulled the trigger and took his family, and he said it was amazing. So I wish we had gone, but I will go back to Disney soon. I absolutely love that trip.
I will too, even without the kids. Maggie and I love going, even kid-less.
Fourth down.
I like Epcot. And oddly enough, that was my oldest daughter's favorite park was Epcot.
My daughter,
me too.
Yeah.
When someone is a guest at your house, what is off limits?
Master suite.
I would say master bathroom, master bedroom.
Yep. Otherwise known as the master suite. It sounds less condescending when you say it's your room.
For me, you know, all the kids' rooms and playroom and stuff is on the top level. And I remember we were all out of town for a work function, and the roommate had one of these, you know, her and work group
raves.
Got off work Shindigs. Early.
Raves.
Well, they ended up going, you know, for margaritas and then to a brewery. And the next thing you know, she had a slumber party back at my house. So I get back in town, and people had stayed upstairs, which I was not happy about. Yeah, so my kids.
So people slept in your kids' bed?
Territory totally off. Yeah.
Yeah, that's no good.
See, I never knew the direction you guys.
Well, they slept in every bed, so.
I never knew what direction you guys would go. Like, my guess would be remote control.
Nah.
My pantry.
No.
Well, I mean, it depends
on.
You
don't have access to my refrigerator. You can't just open my refrigerator.
No, I'm fine with all that. It depends. If you're coming over, like,
so
for.
So if I come to your house, can I have the remote and just do what I want?
Well, it depends. If it's is it a Saturday or Sunday game day?
Sure.
Then no, absolutely not. But
it's a Wednesday night.
Okay. Oh, it's a Wednesday night. That's
you
fine.
You can tell
care.
Me you want to watch the Mississippi State game, and I'll be glad to put the Mississippi State game on one of the TVs.
If it fits.
So your remote is off limits.
Sometimes.
You're both exhausted on Wednesdays. If I come over, can I take a bath?
In the guest bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not in the master. The master suite belongs.
Hey, honey, Lance is coming over. Why? He wants to take a bath.
A bath.
This would be a great bracket challenge. Not that. The most random place that we're invited, you've got to take a bath at their house without asking.
Yes. Do you have a bath or a shower?
Just hear you running in the water. You're just sitting at the rim of the tub, just like rubbing.
Like, when's the last time? When's the last time we were at a house for like a party? Can you guys think of anything?
We had the show Christmas party at my house, but that was like 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't it?
I was at a graduation party at somebody's house.
Oh, I thought you were talking about all together.
Yeah. For us, all together.
Yeah, but I mean, like in a situation like that, if you just would have said, hey, can I use your bathroom? And the next thing you know, you've got, you know, you're the water candles running on the sill. And
that would be funny.
I don't know if you, Dunaway, you said this, the master, from the master bedroom on, that belongs to me and my wife.
That's right.
That's it.
Yep. I would say, Rockstar, I don't even like people going to the bathroom number two here at work. Definitely don't want them coming to my house and doing it.
Well, how about...
Well, I don't think they're going to announce it to you. Hey, I need to powder my nose. I might be a couple minutes.
Did Jeff Daniels announce it in Dumb and Dumber?
He did not.
Flush, you bastards.
How about not long ago, had a technician come to my house and ask to you... Oh, 100%.
Did he smoke or cuss?
He did not.
Was he on time?
He did not, Lance, but I might have preferred the cursing, maybe the smoking, but he told me.
I'll light the cigarette for you, man.
He told me up front, not only did he need to go to the restroom, it was not going to be a short visit.
Oh, wow. That's Rockstar when he plays different parties.
But he's mid-job. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Say no, quit, and drive down to a service station somewhere on 280? I mean, what was I supposed to do? So I let him go. I said, do you mind using the one upstairs that very few people use? And so he went up there and used it. I mean, what are you supposed to do there? What was the protocol? What should I have done?
I don't know.
Oh, man. You know, we're getting to the age where you can just tell people no.
But he's in the middle of the job. He's going to have to quit the job.
Yeah, you're going to clock out, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I may never see him back again. I wanted the job
done.
Well,
I've been to your house. There, across the street, there's like a park and there's woods.
That's
true. A good suggestion.
Yes. Yeah. I could have told him, go use the woods.
All right. Is that 4 downs?
That's 4 of them today.
It's brought to you by Vulcan Tires.
Oh, those are fun, right? The team at Vulcan Tire and Automotive, they feel it's important for you to know they don't employ any salespeople or technicians that are incentivized with commissions when you're getting your vehicle serviced. Team only incentivized to take care of you and your vehicle. That doesn't happen everywhere, but it does at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. 4 locations. For more information, VulcanTireandAuto.com.